Good morning, each and everyone. This will be today's morning prayer before we start this week's episode. So let's take this time to just praise the Lord for his goodness and his grace. Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing grace and your mercy upon us. We thank you for each and every day that you've allowed us to see. You woke us up each and every day with our health and our strength. Lord, just the activity of our limbs, our right mind, just being able to breathe, have oxygen to breathe, Lord God. God, we thank you for rest overnight, Lord God. We thank you that you've kept us and you kept us safe. Lord, we ask right now today, Lord, that you go before us, go before our day and prepare our day. Go in front of us and just guide us, direct us. Some of us need guidance and some of us need guidance from you, Lord God. Father, I pray for those that have not received salvation this morning or today. Lord, I pray that today is the day that they decide to give their heart and their life to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given us, providing our food, our shelter, clothes on our back, transportation that we need, the jobs that we have, just being able to have some kind of sustainability. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of those. We thank you for family. We thank you for friends. We thank you that we have one another, our spouses, our children, grandparents, anybody that's in our family. Lord, we pray for the homeless that are out there in our cities, on our city streets, those that are struggling with drug addiction, those that are struggling financially, Lord. I pray that you would open the doors of opportunity for those of us that can help, those of us that will be led by the Holy Spirit to lend a helping hand, if it's whatever minimum amount it may be, or just having a word of prayer for those that are out there. Lord, we pray for those that are in the hospital, Lord God. We pray for the people that have illnesses and sicknesses and disease. Lord, we pray for healing for them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that have cancer, those that have diabetes, those that have high blood pressure. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you will restore those that have had strokes. Lord, we pray for restoration and healing for those that have had strokes, Lord God. Lord, we pray for those that are struggling with arthritis. We pray that you would heal them, relieve them of their arthritis, Lord God. Lord, we pray for those that have financial challenges right now. We pray that you do open doors of opportunity, whether it be a job or a career that they're trying to get into. We pray for students that are going to school. We pray for the college students, those that are in universities that are striving for higher education. We pray for them. Pray that they would achieve their goals, their aspirations, Lord God. We pray for husbands and wives and marriages. We pray for the restoration of marriages and families, Lord God. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you would give them peace and resolution, Lord God. We also pray for families that have not spoken to one another. Lord, we pray for resolution. We pray for togetherness and bind the works of the enemy. Bind the works of the enemy, of the devil, who is trying to divide and conquer these families, these marriages. Lord, we also pray for our churches, Lord God, here in the United States and abroad. We pray for those that are in the church, Lord God. We pray for the pastors and the leaders to to begin to operate in integrity and operate with the fear of you, God. We pray for those that are in the church that they would be respectful of the church leaders and not be there to divide. Lord, we rebuke the enemy, Lord God. We rebuke the devil that is trying to enter into the body of Christ, to the churches, the local churches, and to begin to have a spirit of compromise, a spirit of sexual promiscuity. We pray for that. We pray that you would bind the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask right now to pray for our country. We pray for our government. We pray for those that are in charge locally in our states and our cities and our counties. Lord, we pray that you would give them direction and guidance, Lord God. We pray that they would have a mindset to want to follow you and to pray for better decisions in our countries, in our country, in our state, and in our government, to govern with not just authority, but with fairness and truth. Lord, we pray for a legislator that is trying to pass bills and laws, Lord God. We pray that you would direct them and guide them and to make better choices and decisions. Lord, we pray for those men and women that are incarcerated in our prisons, in our jails, Lord God. Lord, we pray that whatever they're in jail for or in prison for, that you would go into the jail cells and the prison cells, Lord God, with them. Lord, we pray that you would minister to them, minister to their heart and their mind, Lord God. We pray for those that have been unjustly incarcerated and unjustly put in jail, Lord God, for nothing that they have done or something that they have been misunderstood as being done. Lord, we pray against racism and prejudice in our country, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just bind the works of the enemy on those things. Lord, that those that are hate, that have the spirit of hate, those that hate others that are not like them, of a different ethnicity, a different background, that may not look like them or may not be like them, whether they are of a different ethnicity or a different religion. Lord, we pray that the spirit of hate would go away, Lord God. We pray that we would love all people, no matter whether they are of a different ethnicity or lifestyle or choice that they have chosen to make for their lives. Lord, those that are living a life of sin, those that are living a life of compromise, Lord, help us to approach them with grace and mercy and love and respect. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just give us the words to say, if not the words to say, but the spirit to pray for them, the spirit of intercessory, to pray for those that are not like us, those that are chosen a different lifestyle, a different way of living, to pray for them. Pray that we would not only be strengthened in love and respect and honor for them, but we also pray for salvation. We pray that the light of Christ will shine before them and illuminate their heart in order to surrender their life to him. Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for each and everything that we've talked about in this prayer. Lord, I pray for my listeners. I pray for this podcast. I pray that you would open doors of opportunity in this podcast, Lord God. I also pray that you would begin to release more opportunities and more directions for this podcast to grow and to minister to those that may listen. Lord, we pray for my listeners, those that do listen. I pray that you would just direct them and guide them and get them closer to you. Lord, we praise you, and I praise you, Lord God. Again, as always, I thank you, God, for who you are. I thank you that you are a God of wisdom, that you are a God of power. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that needs to be respected and loved and honored and worshiped. Lord, I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that your kingdom will come, Lord God. I pray for your return to come. Lord, I pray that that as the world gets worse, that we turn our eyes toward you, Lord God, that we begin to take your word seriously. We begin to take you seriously. Help us not to be religious, Lord God, but help us to love and help us to know you by your spirit. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. I love you. Lord, may we love you more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another wonderful and awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. How are you guys doing today? Hopefully you are having or have had a wonderful weekend. And so we are starting just another week that the Lord has allowed us to see. Hopefully by the time you hear this, this is another start of another week in the month of April. And I pray that all has been going well with you all out there. Again, as always, we're going through the book of Romans. And today we'll be going through the book of Romans chapter 14. This was kind of I want to say this episode was kind of split. This is more like the second half of the dangers of criticism. So the last recording that was out there pretty much was the one that I had a lot on my mind, to be honest with you, just about the times that we're living in. A lot of it had to do with the attack again on Israel. And I'm not going to say that. Let me just say this, and I will continue on here. But the attack that happened on the 13th, I think it was on a weekend, on a Saturday. That attack happened in response to an attack that, or actually a bombing, I want to say, that Israel had done, where they had actually hit a building or a consulate. I can't remember exactly if it was some sort of a consulate, but anyways, there were some high-ranking members from Iran, Iranian members that were killed because of this incident. And I want to say that situation either happened at the end of, I want to say the end of March, or the beginning of April, but it did not take long for Iran to respond, and they responded with quite a bit of firepower. But the fortunate thing has been is that the Lord and the Israel defense, whether it's the not just them alone, but other people like other countries like the United States, as well as I want to say the French, as well as a few other countries, I think participated. I even heard that where the missiles from Iran was flying from, which it they would fly over countries like Iraq and Jordan. They also helped intercept and destroy some of the missiles that were headed over to Israel. Long story short on that is Israel has intercepted basically 99% of those missiles, those rockets that would have landed on the grounds of Israel and possibly Jerusalem and other parts of that, of this, of the country there. And praise God that that 99% was successfully intercepted and destroyed, as well as very minimal damage or minimal life of loss. I believe there might have been some injuries as a result. Mind you, though, that the war is still going on, and the proxies of Iran, like Hezbollah, and I want to say there's other groups that are also still at this moment in time still are attacking Israel. There's still a war going on, and so again, I said majority of this the last episode, but just continue to keep Israel in prayer. Keep the Middle East in your prayers as you pray, and also understand that, and this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for peace and not for war. Okay, we're supposed to be praying that there will be a cease of military force, because as some of you may be watching the news like I have been and paying attention, this will continue to escalate, and it will cause a wider range or wider response of war. And so that's not what we want. Now, I will say this in as I have said that, remember what it says in the Bible as we read. And I read this before, but when we go to a verse that I frequently continue to go to, where Jesus himself speaks in Matthew chapter 24. And again, I want us to remember this here. Verse 6. Verse 6 of Matthew 24 says, "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately." Again, it says in verse 7, "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." And so we just recently, I believe it was reported not that long ago, there has been a earthquake, as a matter of fact, which was in Japan. They reported an earthquake. It was a magnitude 6.3 earthquake hits Western Japan. Again, these are things that are to precede the coming of Christ or the rapture of the church. Remember, there, you know, Jesus himself spoke it. He answered this question, and there's many more signs. If you read Matthew chapter 24, how it basically lays it out in detail, what are things to happen, and make it very clear that he says also, in speaking about these things, he said that yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. So understand the sequence of these events, the sequence of the things that Jesus talks about in detail. He lets us know that there will be first these things, the wars and rumors of wars, or wars and threats of wars. And this is what we're having right now. There will be earthquakes and there will be famines in many parts of the world. So we can see that. We can see famine taking place in other countries. We can also see earthquakes, just like I was telling you, that is happening. And the last thing that he says, he says, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, which with more to come. Okay, so you know, I know that I focus on these verses quite a bit, only because this is something that we can currently see right now in our time here in 2024. And so with the threat that is happening of another war in the Middle East, so we have a response that may come from Israel back to Iran after Iran has launched those missiles. So there is a very strong possibility that Israel will respond militarily and with weapons, and they will possibly respond with either the same amount of force that was given to them. And so let us pray again that, first of all, if it happens, let's pray that it is, I would say it is contained between those two countries and will not draw in other countries like the United States or other countries like Russia to get involved, because again, it's a strong possibility that if those two countries are not if that war of aggression is not contained, then it could actually pull other countries in to be allies of one or the other. We see also we see the lining up, we see the movement you know, internationally, of all these different countries, it's beginning to line up. And sometimes I've been on YouTube, and there's other people that have given messages about the book of Ezekiel. Some of you might remember that, of Gog and Magog. You can look that up, and some of them are actually using that as a context to show that the chess pieces of the world is lining up to fulfill what Jesus has said, what the Old Testament has talked about, what the book of Daniel is talking about. We are now in that time period where it's not a moment of panic or anxiety, but it is a moment of readiness, and it's a moment of prayer. And it's also, this is why I myself would rather focus on salvation. And at this point, pray that your decision, as well as those that you may know, would continue to pray and make that decision today. Make that decision now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, or not next year, or when you feel like it, or when you feel the opportunity presents itself. Listen, the things that you're involved with in the world, and the things that we try to hold on in this world, in this life, is temporary. I don't care whether it's family, friends, everything else. If you love your family, you will be praying for them. You will be urgently urging them to take their salvation, their spiritual life, more seriously, because what you decide in this life will decide on where you will spend eternity, where you will spend eternity from here once you breathe your last breath. And listen, it may not be the rapture of the church, where the people that are believers all over the world would be raptured to meet him in the air. It may not be, you may not make it on that time. Maybe you may pass away. You will breathe your last breath. There are so many people that have went to sleep and not woken up, full of health. There's no health problems, no cancer, no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no stroke, or anything of that nature. But you know, there are absolutely healthy people, young people even, that have went to sleep, and never woke back up. So again, I'm not, you know, saying anything to scare you, but to make you think and to urge you and have your sense of purpose in this life of what decision that you should make right now instead of waiting to give your life to Jesus Christ. Give your heart to Him. Don't hesitate. Okay? Ask the Lord to come into your life, come into your heart. It's very easy. You know, come as you are. I don't care what lifestyle you're living. I don't care how many times you've sinned. I don't care whether you have currently just sinned or maybe you were a Christian and you strayed away. Come back. Come back to Him. Repent. Turn to Him. Not stay in your sin. Not have a spirit of doubt. Come and give your life to the Lord. If you're listening to my voice, you're already close enough to where you should be deciding, I need to get my life right. I need to give my heart and my life to Him. So if you're listening to my voice, if you're listening to me right now in this particular podcast, there's so many other places and so many programs, podcasts, religious podcasts that you can listen to, YouTubers, content creators, like they call them, they're saying the same thing. So I implore you, my platform, which is very small, very minuscule, but if I can be of some kind of encouragement, think about your life, your eternal life, okay? Give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and watch Him change your life. Watch Him grow and change you from the inside out. We all need a change, and we're not perfect. Just because when you accept Christ, you're still growing, you're still learning, you got to read your Bible, you got to pray, you just got to, you know, you're learning just like a relationship, like anything. And you're going to make mistakes, but give your heart to Him and let Him begin to work on you. Work on you from the inside out. Work on you through and through so that you can become the woman or man that He wants you to be, the follower, the child of God that He wants you to be. Amen. So again, as always, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for tuning in to this podcast. Thank you for listening to me. And we're going to get into Romans 14, dangers of criticism. I hope you get something out of it. God bless you. And sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hey, good morning, everyone. So we're going to go ahead and pick it up from the last time we had this episode on Romans chapter 14. And so we'll go ahead and, I guess, do a previously recap, I would say, of Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. And then we'll go ahead and start really our episode here on verse 5. So let's quickly read through verses 1 through 4 of Romans chapter 14. And it says here, the danger of criticism. Verse 1, accept other believers who are weak in the faith or weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. Let's go ahead and start in verse 5. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So let's stop right here. So how are you guys liking this so far? I really, this has been a very interesting passage. Mind you, we started last time reading verses 1-4. So I just wanted to kind of recap and go over this again. But we also now, as he is going on, Paul's talking about, he's talking in the same way in verse 5. He says, some think one day is more holy than another, while others think every day is alike. And he says, you should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. So I shared this testimony, I believe, once before about me and a fellow Christian brother. I call him a Christian brother because we agree on a lot of the things when it comes to the Christian faith. But we had some disagreements in regards to certain days that we feel is appropriate to worship the Lord on. And again, there is a whole, and some of you may know this already, but this is a whole denomination or a whole denomination that has built their denomination on the fact that they worship the Lord they choose to worship the Lord on a Saturday. Some of you may know them as Seventh-day Adventists. Now, I'm not going to, in this description or this here, I'm not going to condemn them because I feel like we agree as believers, we agree more on a lot more things than we disagree on. It's so important that we understand that what's more important is that we both honor the Lord. Now, traditionally, I grew up in church that we worship on Sunday. Sunday was because it was the first day of the week. We believe that Jesus rose on a Sunday. And so that's part of the reason why that our denomination, where I came from or come from or brought up in, we worship the Lord on Sunday. We had, you know, Sunday was the day that we go to church. Now, as I got older, I began to understand and see that there are other groups of people like Seventh-day Adventists. They decide they want to worship the Lord on a Saturday. Because why? Because Saturday is the Sabbath, and they follow that tradition because of the fact that God had rested on the seventh day, which is the day of creation. So the day he was done creating everything, from day one to day six, being day six, he created man. The seventh day he looked upon his work and he rested, and he said, and it also says furthermore in the Old Testament, and you can read this also in the Ten Commandments, in which God had given to Moses. And he says, he told him that one of the commandments was to keep the Sabbath holy. Basically, honor the Lord by keeping the Sabbath holy. And so, again, we there are believers out there that they feel like this is their conviction to worship the Lord on a Saturday because this is what has been said. And so, again, I'm not going to say that they are wrong. I am not going to say that they are right. I'm just going to say that they have chosen to honor the Lord on a different day. Now, I'm sure that you might have ran into some people that are Seventh-day Adventists. They may feel like we are wrong, that Christians are wrong for worshiping the Lord on a Sunday. And they will show you scriptures, and they will show you this is why this is inappropriate, or this is why God does not approve of you worshiping him on a Sunday. And remember this is not up to him. Paul, later on, as we just read here in Romans 14, he says, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than others. Other than another day, while others think every day is alike. You see that? So listen to this. The second half of verse 5, you should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. So I'm saying this because we have to understand not to divide over certain things, or not to get to a point where we're causing fights and divisions. We understand we should love the Lord and honor the Lord no matter what we do. Just like he gave the example of eating meat or eating food that one may consider is unclean, or worship idols, like it says in the scriptures. We have to understand that our freedom and liberty and who we and what we choose to honor, we choose to honor the Lord. And remember, this is something that has been done throughout the years. So if you are worshiping on Sunday, continue to worship on a Sunday. If you worship on a Saturday, continue to do that, because again, both ways, you're under your conviction and your devotion to the Lord honors the Lord anyway. So let's continue on here, and we'll kind of get more into one of the reasons, the main reasons why Paul is bringing this up among the believers. Let's go on here. It says in the second half of verse 6, those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Now, listen, this really good point that Paul makes. He says, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. For if we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's also to honor the Lord. Now, listen to this. Verse 9, Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be the Lord, both of the living and of the dead. So here's the thing. We have groups of people that honor the Lord, and the Lord accepts them both. So who are we to look down on one another? God wants us to quit the fighting and the arguments and the disagreements between us, and serve the Lord in sincerity and in honor him in ways. And the best way to honor him is to love one another. The Bible continues to tell us that the world will know that we are believers or that we are Christians the way we love one another. And I consider my Seventh-day Adventist brothers to be my brothers in the Lord. And I hope and I pray that they feel the same way when it comes to Christian brothers, because we believe in the same God. We believe in the same Messiah, the Savior, Yeshua, or Jesus Christ. We believe in him. We trust in him for our salvation. We trust that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the way to get to heaven, not through God, but through Jesus Christ. So these other things that come that are discussed is not an issue of whether you're going to have eternal life or not. So that's the thing to remember. Now, the question is, it says, so why do you condemn another believer? See that? He's making a point. Why do you condemn another believer? We can't do that. Why do you look down on another believer? He says, remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So it's so important. We shouldn't be doing this to one another. And we shouldn't listen. Even in churches, even we have people in same churches, same denominations, they are also still arguing or have legalistic views or have, you know, views of freedom of just being able to do what they do. And listen, we have to learn that if we can't get along with one another, then maybe it's good that you separate yourselves from them and go and worship somewhere else. You can't go into a church or a ministry and make them do something that just because you feel that it's an abomination, or maybe you feel that it's not right. Now, I know this is kind of a controversial statement I just made, but each person should be loving the Lord, and your conviction should be your own conviction. Your job is not to be trying to strong arm people to believe and believe the things that you believe. Now, if you feel that it's a problem and then you feel that it's dishonoring to the Lord, then the best way to go about this is to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that maybe if what they're doing is so wrong that they see the light. So, and I know there's some people out there that's like that. They want to win the argument, or they want to bend them to their will. They want to bend them to them. What? Let me ask you this. What is better, to be right, and to lose your brother or sister in the Lord, or just to say, look, I'm not going to argue with you, but I want to still remain your brother or your sister in the Lord? See, it's so important. We have to weigh those options out. All right, so let's continue on here. And it says here, so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Verse 14, it says, I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person, it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but of the living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something or eat something, you are sinning. If you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe, if you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. So this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful passage. Again, you could really sense that Paul is addressing several groups of people within the early church. There, when the church, early church was probably forming, they had certain rules, regulations. They had certain things that they really wanted to devote themselves, maybe making themselves, you know, they want to pursue holiness. They want to pursue righteousness. I'll tell you, I came out of the Pentecostal denomination, and I'm proud to say that. I had some good experiences in the Pentecostal church, and also I understood some things. It was my foundation. But I also understood that certain things that the Pentecostal church taught and their bylaws or rules of engagement or just their conduct in the church, it was good. It was good because it was meant to keep us, either women being modest and men being modest, or keep us from or abstaining from certain things, whether it be drinking, whether it be anything, smoking cigarettes, things like that. But I'll be honest with you, as I got older, I understood that smoking cigarettes wasn't bad as far as you keeping you out of heaven. Same way with drinking. Drinking is, it says in the Bible, don't get drunk with wine. Right? But it never says that it don't drink wine. But again, I say that because we have good believers that are devoted to the Lord. Okay? They're committed to God. They devote their heart to the Lord. And I'm not, and listen, they are very committed and they love the Lord. And guess what? They believe that certain things is wrong. They believe that smoking is wrong. They believe in gambling is wrong. They believe that drinking is wrong. Drinking wine, I should say. They believe in certain music, secular music is wrong to listen to, as well as, you know, watching certain movies or television shows is wrong to do. And guess what? When you talk to some of them, which I've, again, came up and been raised in the church like that, they have some very valid reasons. And I can honestly tell you that some of the reasons are also, they're also well-meaning because of the fact that they want to remain holy. They want to pursue holiness. They want to pursue righteousness. They feel God is not pleased with certain behaviors. And guess what? My life was never ruined behind that type of living. It did make me want to understand God for myself and pursue God more in my life. What I chose to do, whether it be not gambling, not drinking or not whatever, that's on my own. Okay? And I'll say this. Those of you that are first coming into the Lord, maybe you're a new Christian, new believer, I would definitely tell you that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to guide you and direct you on how to live your life. He will be the one to tell you, hey, you should get away from doing that. You should stop doing this. You stop participating in these behaviors, these activities, going to these places. It's not good for you. It's not good for your spirit. So I'm not going to tell you, you shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be doing. There are certain things. Yes, I will definitely tell you that there are certain things you should not do. And what I mean by that is it will stunt your growth, your spiritual growth. Listen, some people will say, well, I'm still sleeping with someone that we're not married. The way I grew up, that was considered wrong. Now, different things is considered wrong, but is it considered a sin? That's the thing. So again, there's certain things in the church that you may go to that may say, we don't condone that, or we don't consider it appropriate, or we may consider it wrong. But being that it's wrong, is what is the context of it in? Is it there to make sure that you're living a life that where you don't make mistakes? Listen, you may be with someone right now that is your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and maybe it's not right for y'all to live together, begin to live together and start a life together if you're not getting married. Or maybe you could be having sex and not being married. And guess what? Next you know, you have a child. And the danger in all that is more than likely that maybe you two may not stay together. And what does that do? It promotes a broken union. That means you're not a traditional husband and wife. Some people out there say, well, who cares? Long as you guys are working together to, you know, help raise a child or children that you may have. But again, there are certain things that you may not go to hell for, and it's not considered sinful, so to speak. But in God's view, and maybe in how man has instituted it in certain religions or certain backgrounds or denominations, it's only because it wants to prevent you from making a mistake. We can look in our society and there's so many mistakes that have been made. There's so much patterns of dysfunctionalism because of us making the wrong choices. God allows us to make these choices, just like going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You had Adam and Eve. They were placed in the garden and they were willing, or they were told that they can choose whatever tree that they can have. But the only one tree that they could not have or should not have, it was right there. There was conditions on that. But again, God had given them a choice. He gave them what you call free will. And guess what? The same argument that can be said about freedom of speech today. It's the same thing. We have free will. We have free choice to do whatever you want to do. But if what you want to do is damaging or stunting your growth in the Lord, maybe it's looking at certain things on television or on the computer, on the internet. It's compromising your faith. It's causing you not to get close to the Lord. And think about this the next time you participate in something, or think about whether you should participate in something. Always ask, is this pleasing to the Lord? What does God think about this? And when I say this about asking or thinking about it, really, truly think about it. Don't bend God to your will, to your understanding, or bring him down to your human level. Always remember God's character. God is righteous. He's holy. He is a holy God. And guess what? If he's a holy God, whatever you participate in, as the Holy Spirit directs and guides you, if you feel conviction about it, it's because God is truly holy in your life and you know it. And as you know God is holy, then do you want to join his spirit with your actions? Maybe as you deciding to have unprotected sex and you're fornicating, like the old folks used to say, you're fornicating. And guess what? If you're doing that, don't try to manipulate your thinking or manipulate God and say, well, God says it's okay to do it. Are you sure about that? Do you know whether God is pleased? Sometimes we have to take that test, that thought, of what seems right. And like the Bible is saying, to do something, to do anything, if you do anything you believe is not right, then it is considered a sin. You are sinning. Each person has their own conscience. There are a lot of people with different things, different devotions to what they feel is right or wrong to do. At the end of the day, you got to stand before God like the Bible is saying. The Bible says that we got to stand before him one day. Don't try to trick yourself or even listen. You're not living for us. You're living for the Lord. Okay. We will all stand in judgment before the judgment seat of God. It says this right here. Go back and read verse 10. When it says here, remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And he refers to the scripture that says, for the scriptures say, okay, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Okay. And you can find that, you can read that in book of Isaiah chapter 49 and 18. And you can also read that in a book of Isaiah chapter 45 and 23. So it's very important that our devotion, our conviction is for the Lord, not for ourselves, not for our brother or sister in the Lord. And I love the fact that Paul makes a comparison. At the same time, we're not to condemn others just because they feel like it's wrong to do. Maybe they're playing the lottery. They say, well, that's gambling. And it very well is. But some people feel like there's nothing wrong with me doing that. Some people are still going to church and they're smoking cigarettes. And now the denomination I came out of, oh, it was like, oh, you shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't be smoking only because it's a health, it's for your health, but not because you're going to go to hell. Okay? It's not a matter of if it's a sin, but if it's just wrong to do. Some things that God has said in his word that has to do with sin, salvation, eternal life. What you do in this life and how you live this life and how you conduct yourself in this life will determine the choices that you make and how your life will change based on the choices you make. Am I saying you won't go to heaven? You may be a believer and still go to heaven. But why would you want to compromise your life knowing that it's not pleasing to God in this life? And you're shortchanging yourself of being a witness, shortchanging yourself of being someone that is a light in this world to a non-believing person. And I'll say this another example before I close. I've seen many people that are professed to be Christians. They are, some of them are big name artists, singers, entertainers, sports people, even professional and politicians. All profess to be Christians, God-fearing. But when you say that, when you give yourself that title, be sure that you're not living a way that's hypocritical. Am I saying that everyone in the world knows and should know how a Christian ought to act? But they kind of know the general senses that a child of God should be someone that fears the Lord. And whatever that means to them. But I tell you what, when you go out there and you misrepresent the kingdom of God, you misrepresent God, okay, it makes you look bad. And it also confuses the non-believer. It confuses the person that's saying, oh, well, is that how Christians are supposed to act? Well, they act just like we do out in the world. Why become a Christian when they act the same way as I do? Why go to church when the church is not even participating in a godly behavior? I've seen so many times, okay, so many times that people has either said they're a Christian, said they're a believer, but They're still out there doing things that are ungodly. What does that do? What does that do to your witness? What does that do to people that think about going to church, but because the church is acting just like the world? There needs to be a difference. And there needs to be a difference in your life. I'm not going to tell you to not smoke, to not drink, to not gamble, to not watch certain shows and television shows or movies or what have you. All I'm going to tell you is sincerely pursue God. Seek His face. Seek His approval. Seek what makes Him happy. What's going to bring Him to a place to say, that's my child, my son, my daughter. And another thing, as we grow in the Lord, as we get closer to God, guess what it happens to you? You begin to look more like Him. You begin to look more like your Heavenly Father. Your character from within changes. And you'll begin to start making those choices as to what you consider is wrong to do, or what's not pleasing to the Lord, to what is pleasing to the Lord. Anyways, I want to thank you as always for tuning in. I thank you for reading this chapter with me in Romans chapter 14. Hopefully this was a wonderful chapter. Continue to read it. Go back and study it again. Go back and reread it. Go back and think about it. Think about some of the verses that Paul was talking to the people here in the Gentiles, I'm assuming, the people that were starting the early church. This was a phenomenal time. It's a wonderful time when Christianity began to start taking place. It wasn't even called Christianity. I believe it was called the Way, and they weren't called Christians. The word Christian didn't come until centuries later. But I tell you what, in the meantime, it's all about following God. And if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please make that decision today. Open your heart today. Don't wait. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't think that, oh, I got to clean up. I got to stop doing these habits. We just talked about people that maybe live carnal. Maybe they live in a way that they say they're Christians, but they're still doing certain things that were secular, worldly. Okay? So I want you to make that decision today, though, because the Lord, once you accept Him in your life will be changed. Your inside of your character and who you are and how people see you will change. Most of it will change for the better. So understand to love the Lord your God by honoring him and having a reverent fear of Him that pleases Him. You want to please God. You want to please the Lord in your life. All right, guys. Hopefully, again, just stay tuned. We're going to continue on in the next episode. We're going to be getting into Romans chapter 15. God bless you, and I'll be talking to you soon.